Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website or blog. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs with automatic device scaling. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code AboutAndroid8.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 71, recorded on Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards, and I'm back.
Rio back.
You're back,
yeah.
Baby.
Welcome back, kind of, sort of, as you sit here.
Yeah.
We miss you.
One of these days, we'll all be here again. It'll be awesome.
We'll have to see you next week, but now I'm sweating it out in New York, so.
Yeah. We'll have to do lunch or dinner or something like that.
Something. We'll all be together. But we'd also have a fourth chair today, right, Jason?
That's right. Jessica Dolcourt, we're so stoked to have you, senior editor of mobile at CNET. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, that's right. No problem.
Boom. You either have the pleasure or the opposite of that, because you have to test so many different devices. Is that a good or a bad thing?
It depends on the week. No, yeah. It's really exciting. I mean, I get to see the phones before most people do, get to play around with them, pit them against one another, view the bloodshed. It's pretty exciting.
But here's the thing about like phone reviews, particularly when that's your beat, I have to imagine, is that not only do you play with the awesome ones, like you did extensive coverage of the Samsung Galaxy S3, which is by and large a hit, obviously, but you also have to play with a lot of like the lower end phones that maybe aren't quite as fun. They're valuable to, you know, for many reasons, but maybe not as like cool on the cool scale, right?
I just put myself in the mindset of I'm helping out somebody's grandma.
There you go.
Maybe my grandma. Sorry, grandma.
Grandma, yeah, this is why you may or may not want this phone, right?
Exactly.
Is that how you do it?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a pretty hip grandma if a grandma ever ends up with a Galaxy S3, right? Steer your grandma in the right direction. Get her an S3.
All right. Well, this week we have a little court case we're going to be talking about again. And we're going to talk a little bit about the imminent launch of the Galaxy Note 2. Jason has a few words to say about the ASUS Transformer Pad Infinity.
Yeah,
you. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot more. I'm really excited about the arena because I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
I'm just going to have a lot of fun in the arena with my app. But
I think we all, for the most part, have had
you
fun.
You guys have
your
fun,
app,
but fun
great.
Doesn't normally translate to winning. So
yeah, we'll see.
But it's a lot of fun. So
without further ado, let's tackle this news. I'll take a big, deep breath because I'm realizing I'm only 1 week into the Samsung Apple trial and I'm just kind of like already sick of it. But we have to talk about it, right? So one thing's for sure at this point, this is one difficult trial to summarize succinctly. So I'm going to go ahead and give both sides kind of little good and bad moments from the past week, a few highlights, if you will. So first, Samsung's, quote, beat Apple strategy documents are being revealed, and among some of the evidence Apple is presenting is an icon comparison by Samsung, where they explicitly say, Samsung wrote this up, they explicitly say, remove a feeling that iPhone's menu icons are copied by differentiating design. That doesn't sound so hot for Samsung. Also bolstering Apple's side is a Samsung memo now being dubbed the Crisis of Design memo. I love that phrase for some reason. It's got a nice ring to it. Where J.K. Chin, Samsung's head of mobile communications, specifically writes, when our UX, that's their overlay, when our UX is compared to the unexpected competitor Apple's iPhone, the difference is truly that of heaven and earth. It's a crisis of design. I hear things like this. Let's make something like the iPhone. So kind of not too hot on the Samsung side of things. Now, there is kind of bad on the other side of the ship, too. On the other side of the coin, Samsung is claiming that Apple destroyed evidence, including product comparisons and admissions that should have been preserved and produced for Samsung's use in the case. Samsung's also noting that carrier requirements to differentiate devices is a big reason why Samsung's claim of uniqueness with their devices should be valid, with over 100 different types of devices on the market. And then finally, in kind of our pre-show, Jessica, you were mentioning that there was a new CNET article written by Josh, right? Josh Lowenson.
Josh Lowenson, yeah, exactly. Basically, Samsung has come up with the boot argument. So what that means is that they're showing the court and the jury and Apple that there is no confusion. The phones are properly differentiated when you view the boot screen. So basically, you boot it up. And the example they used was a Droid Charge, I believe. And so it's got this very distinctive look and sound. And that is how you know that you're on a Samsung phone.
If you happen, and Josh pointed this out in his article, I thought it was a really good point. When people, so a big part of the issue that Apple has right now is, okay, so you're in the store, you don't know Apple versus Samsung, you don't know anything, all you know is you look at it, and you know maybe you're tricked into thinking that this looks like an Apple phone, and that's what you wanted in the first place, right? How many people in a store boot up their device, or boot up the device they're looking at, for that to really be kind of a valid excuse? I guess it shows some differentiation, but from Apple's perspective, maybe it kind of doesn't apply so much. Yeah.
I mean, how often are you booting up the phone, especially when you're in that shopping mode? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like, especially with Verizon, a lot of time they have dummy phones that aren't even on, that are just the bezel with the screen in front of it, you know, like with a sticker on top of it or something like that. And when they do have it running, it's probably already up and running. So in a shopping mode, I don't know how the boot thing works. And then, but I mean, I could see their point. I mean, it's their, I wonder if they're trying to start bringing it closer to operating systems and computers and that sort of differentiation. Like, how do you know when you're on Windows versus a Mac, that sort of thing? I mean, because it's very similar when, you know, when you're talking about the similarities and, you know, with the, you know, with the user interface and the GUI and icons and all things like that. I mean, these are similar words that are being used that were used, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago when the OS wars were happening.
But even along that line, as far as like the boot is concerned, I mean, what are they saying they could have done? Put an Apple logo up on their Samsung when it booted? Like, of course they're not going to do that.
If we were copying Apple, we would have said iPhone on it. Yeah.
Clearly, well, I mean, also, the choice of the Droid Charge is really specific because the Droid is, you know, a very limited family that is only on Verizon. So they've got 100 phones. They all boot up differently.
Yeah, very, very true. Well, so it's going to be exhausting, folks, but we're going to continue covering this case. It's just really hard to like summarize this thing, especially this early on. They're really just kind of going back and forth, which is just how these cases go. I don't know. Does anyone want to take a guess as far as like where your gut tells you this is going to land? Like, even as simplified as who might have the upper hand here?
I keep hoping they're going to settle.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I think I said that last week. Just settle the thing out of court. I don't know who, you know, pay the money, pay whatever millions and billions of dollars that it is, and just stop.
Yeah. Stop the madness.
Yeah, stop the madness.
Yeah.
So it makes for great content.
It certainly does. Never-ending content, that is for sure. We'll try and keep up.
I don't know what we would do if we didn't have some sort of really complicated litigious, whatever word that is, lawsuit for us to analyze and talk about. I mean, between Oracle and Google and Samsung and Apple, if we didn't have any law cases, what would we have to talk about in the news segment?
That's really true. Maybe we should rename the news segment to,
I don't know, Ron.
Litigious segment.
I don't know. In law. But Ron, you actually have another news segment.
Thankfully.
We do talk have about. Some news. Yes, actually, absolutely. In the file of functionality we don't have that we don't know we want, but once we had it, we'd really want it. It looks like Android's multiple user accounts has appeared up on video and has all but been confirmed for future versions of Android. So to explain that, they've discovered code within Jelly Bean that suggests really strongly that in all future versions of the operating system is going to include profile switching capabilities. So this would allow a device, a phone or tablet, to carry different settings, applications and customizations for different users, similar to your operating systems, how you're able to log into your account and your significant other or your kid or, you know, your parents or whoever can log into their own account on the operating system. Mm-hmm. There's a post on XDA that details how it can all be done. And this came up on Fandroid.com, and it's currently looks like to be an unfinished code state. But people, of course, they're tinkering around. They found it in the operating system. And the idea, you know, we've gotten several emails over the years of people saying, you know, I want my child to be able to play on my phone. Can I, you know, make a different account? Can I figure out some way to switch between my account and someone else's account? It looks like it's coming. And this is the kind of functionality, although I see it more for tablets than I do for phones, because I feel like phone is a very personal device. But for tablets, this is great because you can buy a tablet for the family.
This is also great for that guy who wrote in a long time ago about giving his phone to his girlfriend and using the browser and hiding certain things that he had been searching on that browser. Do you remember that guy, Ron? He wrote to you. No.
Answered. His problem has been solved once he gets Chrome on Android, he'll be able to use the incognito. That problem. But this is great for tablets. I mean, so, you know, Jason, you can, you know, set up an account for your daughter, load it up with games. You don't have to worry about her, you know, stumbling into, I don't know, anything that, you know, accesses the file system.
Yeah. I mean, I've already done that. It was an app that I featured months ago called Switch Me. And I mean, it requires a rooted tablet, but I have that on here and I have a version of it through Switch Me that I boot into. That's basically nothing but, you know, games for Lucy to keep her entertained in the car, primarily if she starts getting, particularly restless or whatever. But it would be, and in that regard, it actually would be very handy on the phone as well, because you don't always have a tablet on you. But I think that's great to build it in, kind of mirrors a little bit more of what you're used to on a desktop experience. And yeah, absolutely. Especially in particular, something like the, and we're going to talk about it later, the Asus Transformer Pad Infinity that has the laptop connection, so it almost mimics the laptop experience anyways. To have a profile capability on that seems like a no-brainer. So
what I think is interesting about this is that this is yet another example of the rooting community and the hackers and the people who like to mod their stuff kind of laying the groundwork for what eventually Google then adopts as official functionality within the operating system.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they're working on it at the same time, but it is a pretty good barometer of what might come in future OSs as you see that pop up in the rooting community.
Sure.
Have you guys covered Divide before?
No. Divide?
Yeah, it's this Android app that was at least first incepted to be for use by the enterprise, and it divides up your profiles. So say your personal profile from your work profile. So this has been in the works for a while, but and that didn't involve rooting at all.
Mm-hmm. So this is Divide Secure Exchange Email, or am I looking at something different?
No, I think that's the right one.
It's Enterproid. It's the name of the developer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so that is this. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
So I did use it a little bit. I mean, like I said, it's really meant for the IT managers, or at least it was when I was looking at it. But you could see how it would go toward that divided profile, divided use. Mm-hmm. So I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. It's one of those things that once it happens, it'll be like a kind of a no-brainer in the rear view. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, why didn't you have that before? We have I don't know if this was necessarily an emailer
tip. It wasn't.
It was a question you had, but a lot of people that would email into the show.
Dude.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, actually, the other day, 35 comments here. The other day, I admittedly haven't used Google Now as much as I've wanted to. And, you know, I kind of swiped up, did the Google Now thing, and I said, calendar, Thursday, dinner with Annalisa. And then I just stopped, and then it just did an alert. It did an alert mode instead, so it set my alarm clock for Thursday, 6 p.m., whatever I said. And I just kept doing it, and I thought, God, am I saying it wrong? Is the jargon appointment?
Right. How do you make a calendar event?
6 p.m. I went on and on and on. Finally, I just went to Google+.
Did it yourself.
Well, I went to Google Plus and asked instead of putting it in the calendar because I'm like, come on. I just want to know. I thought we could do this, and apparently you cannot. It's not like Siri where you could do the calendar appointment. But I got an answer from Corey Teague who says, unfortunately you can't, but you can text a calendar appointment to your calendar, add the Google Calendar text number to contacts, then use Google Now. Then use Google, say text, and you're all set. So
yeah, text calendar.
Text calendar. Blah, blah, blah. Right. So, you know, when you text and the number is Gvent, you have to register your mobile phone with your calendar. And I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super quick. Just go into your settings and go into a tab that not mobile, but let me go there really quick. Mobile setup. There's a tab once you go into your calendar settings, mobile setup, put your phone number in there. Then you'll get a verification code. You put that, you answer with your verification code on your phone, and then you're all set. And so today wrote Tesla Eschew. I just typed it out. I mean, of course, you can do the voice, but I typed Tesla Eschew Thursday at 11 a.m. Sure enough, it showed up on my personal calendar. Now, it only shows up on your personal calendar. So if you have
other...
No selecting other calendars. No, like if you have a work calendar within your personal account or your Gmail account, your Google calendar, it won't go there. Just your personal. But it worked, and it worked like a charm. So thank you, Corey Teague, for that tip. Again, once you register your phone... you text 48368. That'll, you know, be paired up with your Google Calendar, your personal Google Calendar, and you're set to go. Patrick Boak also points out that among other restrictions, the SMS to GCal only works in the U.S.
Yeah.
But,
I hear that a lot with Google things.
There were a lot of gripes, though, on my G+ account. I really want that feature of
being
able to, you know, voice in Google
Now. It takes so long for those things to go outside of the U.S. sometimes.
I feel like there's a whole category of Google Now adventures that we could have now that Google Now is getting, you know, more and more used. I've noticed every time I've searched a location on Google Maps on my browser, 2 seconds later on the phone, I've got a notification of a card on Google Now to directions to that place from wherever I am,
mm-hmm.
whether I want to go there or not.
I know, and me too.
Yeah. So while it's cool, it's also like, well, I'm not going there. I'm going there in 2 days from now. And I'm keeping an eye on Google Now to see what quirky behavior it does. Cause it's an initially released product. Like they're going to update it and change it. So, it'll be curious to see how it further develops, but little quirky things like this, the direction stuff, I'm keeping an eye out for it. I think it could be a segment. Well, let's
okay.
Google Now.
Well,
Google Now. That's what we'll call it.
Google Now. Now. So, the other day, well, I'm going to Seattle in a couple weeks, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I want to go see the Mariners. So I did a little search on my laptop, on my Air here. I did a little search for the Seattle Mariners, and I didn't have a baseball team selected on Google Now. I kind of deleted that section of the cards on Google Now, and now I get updates on the Seattle Mariners every single time. So
now you
every single
Mariners
day.
Fan.
Now I am a Mariners fan. And
whether
they
you
win?
Want to be or not.
I know. I just didn't delete it. I just kept it out of, you know, it's kind of fun. But
yeah, you can manage that. I mean, if you tap on the three little buttons icon and go to the settings, you can adjust your team and all that sort of stuff. But,
I just didn't know that it did that from the Chrome browser on my laptop, but it makes sense. You know, well, I just didn't realize that was happening.
That was the crazy thing about when I first got it, because it linked to my account, and the first time I opened Google Now, I had never done anything with it, and I got the New York Mets score. Because Google already knew I was a Mets fan because I've searched for it a lot. It's other little things like that I've noticed too. Like right now, so I'm in New York. There is a card currently right now that tells me what time it is at home in San Francisco.
But you're in New York.
Yeah, I mean, it knows I'm in New York, but it knows home is San Francisco. So it tells me it's 5:40 time at home. And that's all it says.
Oh, well,
it's fascinating.
Google thinks that I live at CNET. That's my home.
Oh, interesting.
Well, the phone never leaves, so.
No.
Although I think that you can actually go into navigation, I believe, and set home. You can tell it what home is, and then from that point on, Google Now respects that as being your home.
Yeah,
so that might be something to check out.
What would happen.
Yeah.
I also just wanted to tell people I lived at work.
Yeah.
You have a little
Certainly feels that way sometimes. You're like, yeah, I'm home.
What's really funny is that because Google Now doesn't account for people who, like me, work from home, it's desperate for me to find a workplace. Like everywhere I go, I come into the Twitch studios, it's like, is this work? And I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, it is, but it's not. How do you explain this? I do it once a week. It's like there's a bar in San Francisco I go to a lot. And it's like, is this work? And I was like, no, it's just a problem.
Yeah, you need to have a good conversation with Google Now and maybe erase the whole, you know, show me where work is, and maybe program in like, where's the kitchen? Like, how far from the living room to the kitchen?
Let's just lower our expectations here.
Yeah, exactly.
Home, not so important. Kitchen, yeah, that's pretty important.
I'm wondering if I can get Google Maps to navigate the distance between my bed and my living room.
There you go. How long is it going to take you to commute to your living room?
There you go.
Man, today it was like a 30-second commute. It sucked.
It's all this traffic with the cat.
Yeah, you never know how many cats are going to get in your
and
way.
And the wall of your
house. Well, that's always a challenge. So let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the new Squarespace.com. It looks fantastic. It's now faster and easier than ever to create a high-quality website or blog. They've changed to a new content management system. They pretty much overhauled the entire thing. That's why they call it the new Squarespace. From a technical perspective, it's an entirely new product. It has a different code base, uses all the latest web technologies, HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript, and they do that for, you know, of course, speed and flexibility for future development. But from a user perspective, it's actually really cool. It does things like presenting you with the best experience based on the screen that you're using. So if you're using a large, you know, desktop screen, you're going to get a different experience automatically than if you pull it up on your phone. It kind of scales them on the fly automatically for you, so you don't have to worry about what it's going to look like on different screens. Pretty sweet. It, you know, continues to make things very easy for you to build a site from scratch. And gives you all sorts of new kind of integrations for social features. So before, you could do widgets around your social networks and stuff. Now they actually have a lot more social networks built into the system, as well as more widgets that you can integrate into your site to give it a more current feel. Total drag and drop functionality, if you've ever kind of gone into their interface and created things, it's a really easy interface to interact with, and it's actually very addictive to kind of get in there and pull up their templates, which they have a bunch of new templates as well, and just kind of tweak them to your own heart's content and come up with something that's original to you. It's a really good approach. I personally have to officially move my site. I have a site on Squarespace and move it from the old to the new. And they actually allow you to do that. If you currently have a Squarespace account on the old site, you can move it over to the new, take as much time as you want, and then eventually kind of flip the switch and have it over there. They pretty much integrate all of your website needs. Domain registration is actually a part of their service as well. It's a unified service for bringing all of these elements together. And they've just got a ton of new features, so you should check it out. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com, sign up for a free account. There's no credit card needed when you do that. You can just try it out, start building your site. Then if you decide to purchase, use offer code AboutAndroid8 and get 10% off your first purchase on new Squarespace accounts. And that includes monthly and annual plans. So you can definitely save a good amount there. And don't forget about the free domain registration with annual plan subscriptions too. So that's squarespace.com and use offer code AboutAndroid8. We thank Squarespace so much for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. Love Squarespace. All right, let's move into hardware. Whatever. It's about the same. Either way, you slice it. Only has a few hours left. So if you have not bought yours, or rather, you know, signed up to buy
one. Sounded like an infomercial. Only a few hours left.
It's only a few hours left. I think it's like, 15 hours or something really? Left on this? 28 hours to go. There we go. So a little more than a day. They've done a great job marketing this thing, apparently, you know, through
$7.5 million.
Yeah.
Their $950,000 goal has been surpassed by
ridiculous
amounts. Oh my gosh.
And they have another partner now, XBMC, Xbox Media Center, is getting early access to the console to develop a nice front end for serving your media. Sounds pretty sweet. More and more reasons to get the Ouya.
I honestly, I just feel like I have accidentally bought something amazing. Like, I didn't realize that how amazing it's going to be, but I just went and plopped down that $6.99 at the end, $99 of that is mine that I contributed to the company.
Yeah.
And it just, I get emails consistently now, oh, we're doing this and we're doing this and we're, and these people are partnering. OnLive is partnering. We're doing this. We're going to have Final Fantasy. But I'm like, whoa. Wait, do I need to do anything else but the Ouya when I get it? I have no idea.
What about you, Jessica? How have you, where have you fallen in this whole Ouya kind of hype?
I have been living in a cave, actually, because this is the first I'm hearing of it.
Oh, well, it sounds pretty cool. For me...
It does sound cool. I kind of wish I had plopped down my $6.99 when Eileen did, because I clearly want this, whatever it is. It's successful already.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a Kickstarter around a gaming console based on Android that doesn't really necessarily exist yet. It's still, right, for all intents and purposes, vaporware. I mean, they have, you know, things that they show off in the video as far as playing it and stuff, but nobody has it yet, and it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, but with all of this backing, it's like you hear about all these Kickstarter programs where it's like,
it's actually backed by Jambox, right? And Jambox has a lot of cred. They actually have products that work very well.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that are kind of getting behind this, which is kind of exciting. Gives it a little bit more credibility, I think.
Jessica, it was $99. I paid $9. I didn't do the $6.99. I did the $99. Oh. And you know what? $99 is still available for you.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This is a good question.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm trying to sell it for you. Oh, yeah.
$6.99. That's what I'm saying.
Man, that's cheaper than the Raspberry Pi.
But this begs a good question, though, about these Kickstarter projects, which is, you know, do you plop down the money and help make it happen? Or, like, I haven't. I've kept my eye on this, but I haven't pledged any money yet. It clearly passed this goal. Will I miss out and not be able to get one because I didn't kick into the Kickstarter?
I don't think you'll miss out.
I don't think I will either. But it's funny. I generally take more of a wait and see approach with these Kickstarters and keep track of companies like this, and then let me see the product for real. Let it become not vaporware, and then I'll make the decision and try to get my hands on it, that sort of thing. But I mean, it's amazing to see them get eight times their mm-hmm. their goal was. I mean, clearly with almost $8 million, they should be able to get this product into my hands, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm actually amazed that there's space for another game console, considering how many are out now and viable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting thing for an independent like this to get into the game and get this much buzz. You know, and particularly the gaming. When you're talking about gaming consoles, it's not a very easy kind of market to crack into and get a lot of support for.
If you look at the trends in gaming, though, and you look at the screenshot on the Kickstarter thing, it's got Cannonbolt, it's got Minecraft, it's got Shadowgun. I mean, these are, you know, yes, they're talking, we're going to have Final Fantasy, but like gaming, and I'm totally just a casual, you know, I'm not a gamer, but gaming is going in the direction of independent gaming, and there are more and more independent developers. It's becoming easier and easier to develop for platforms, especially platforms like Android. And so you basically, you know, the years of being dependent on EA and Sony and all these other big, and Microsoft and all these other big game manufacturers is going away because of products like this and because of open platform like Android. So it's kind of cool to see that happen. It's a change in the whole industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is exciting. I'm jury's still out. I feel the need at this late hour to like get in and be like, oh, whatever. It's just $100. I'll just do it and get it. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, so I don't really play a whole lot of video games anymore. So I probably wouldn't use this to play games. I mean, realistically, I'd use it a little bit, and then I probably wouldn't. I have a PS3, and I never game on it.
You also have Facebook and many tablets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I never do that. I never do the Facebook gaming either. Even, you know, if I wanted to, I guess it's available to me to do that. But so then what does this mean? So then it means it's a media serving, a good media server, mm-hmm. essentially, to the living room. But I kind of already have that, too. In fact, I have double that because I have a PS3, and then I got the Nexus Q, which is probably going to have XBMC on it anyway. So then it's like, then... Why do I need this?
Your Nexus Q is really going to be a bowling ball, Jason. So there's 28 hours left.
I know. Isn't that what you guys thought when you pulled it out of the box?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was bocce. I was ready to play
bocce. Yeah, bocce. There we go.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
Actually, I'm pretty sure we were all standing next to each other when we pulled them out of the boxes.
Right. And everybody all of us went, were going, Anyway. All right. Well, that's the Ouya.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have a little bit of Samsung news. I'm going to ask Jessica about this because there is a big unpacked event, Samsung Unpacked event, and apparently it is when magical moments come alive. And this is going to happen in Berlin at IFA, an annual event. What does IFA stand for again? International something, something, something. Anyways, Jason's going to look that up. But apparently at this Unpacked event, there's always an Unpacked Samsung event. We're hearing, okay, International Franchise Association. Thank you very much.
Or index fund advisors.
Oh, that too. We're hearing of the possibility of the Galaxy Note 2 being introduced. I'm not quite sure. There's some rumors here. Same size, but quad core, again, Super AMOLED, and possibly 12 megapixels. Did you actually see the Note 2, Jessica, at Mobile World Congress, or is this completely new?
Oh, heck no. This would be the unveiling. This would be a year after
the original
Note. Global version of the Note was announced.
Right.
And I think there's a very high possibility. In fact, I would bet on it.
Yeah. I would put
Your $699.
See, now this one is going to be $699. and we've talked a lot about the Note on our show and how popular
it's a rising
and how we've
star.
Seen it. It's got its own, I don't even know if it's a cult following anymore because it is just, have been sending
us
pictures.
It's on T-Mobile now.
Yeah.
It's got ice cream sandwich. The problem with the Note is that there are a lot of rough edges with it, and I think that there is a lot of work that Samsung can do.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they will bring that out. I would be a little bit surprised to see a 12 megapixel camera on it just because Samsung's not really going in that direction. Doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. I would just be very surprised to see it. Samsung's pretty proud of the capabilities of its 8 megapixel camera. I would see a lot more in terms of the apps, maybe pen sensitivity, different things you can do with the pen, that kind of thing, the screen, productivity, more sensitive drawing capabilities as well.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a lot of sharing. They're really big into the sharing stuff right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They just had they launched their music hub recently.
Right.
Maybe that's going to be more sharing capabilities there. And yeah, they've got a lot going on. So we will keep tabs on that at the end of this month. Samsung is launching the Galaxy Note 10.1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I totally called that. I did.
You did.
Because I saw it. I mean, I saw it at Mobile World Congress. They brought it out, and then they have this big secret event in New York. And, you know, what else could it be? Because we knew that the Note 2 would likely be coming at IFA.
Got it. So this is the one for the August 15th event, is what we're thinking, right?
Correct.
Right. So if you're looking at the video, the thing that they're really touting here, besides, you know, drawing and whatnot, is multitasking. And we saw a little bit of sort of layered video on top of screens with the Samsung Galaxy S3. But here, you know, on a 10-inch device, you can see the pen moving around, split screen. I mean, just multi-screens galore on this. And this is kind of something that I thought, you know, if Android was going to, you know, maybe try and surpass the iPad in any way, it's that multi-tasking functionality on a tablet, which like people are gearing up. There's some apps that do that, but maybe this is something that will appeal to some of the more general users out there.
I think it's a breakout feature, and they're smart because they're licensing technology that already exists. It's the Wacom technology on there. But I think it's a great use case. I think it's a lot better than the Note is to actually have a slate where you have room to do things, room to multitask, or even just direct all of your energy. I also think that it's going to be a lot easier for writing. I did see it, but obviously didn't get a chance to play around with it the way that you would if you actually owned it and were using it.
Mm-hmm. So we're hearing that the Wi-Fi version will come out first with a possible 4G LTE version later in the year. And the videos that we see are, a gorgeous white bezel. Anybody else into this? I was just kind of amazed with the video. And Chad, I don't know. They always have interesting video presentations. Samsung does.
I think what's interesting to me about the video, if you watch it, is it's all animated.
The
hand is not real. Like, none of this is real. So it's really hard to know.
I was watching it just now, and I was just like, is that real?
No, it's not.
It's totally not. Yeah.
Leave it to Samsung.
So for some reason, I see that, and my initial knee-jerk reaction is to say, okay, well, then this doesn't really tell me a whole lot. Like, this is a rendered version of the way they say it should run. You know what I mean?
And it will,
Jason.
Your hands
can't possibly move that fast on it.
Look at the writing right there.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a nitpicky thing, but I want to see a real one in use before I'm like get super excited about how fast, you know, this thing moves or whatever. I don't know.
I think it's just have terribly scrawling handwriting, because my experience is that I'm writing something and then I have to go back and erase it because it has no idea what I'm saying and I can't read it either. Then I have to go and leave like big spaces, but then the corner of my finger might touch the corner of the screen and mess everything up again. And so for me, it's actually a very time consuming affair.
Yeah. Yeah, look, absolutely. But I mean, some of the features on this video are pretty cool.
It's weird.
Go ahead. Oh, you're just saying it's weird, Ron.
Yeah,
he's mesmerized by the video. If you listen to the music underneath the music bed, it's even more mesmerizing.
I mean, for a moment, I thought it was almost like the Taiwanese animation.
Do you hear that?
You know what? This reminds me of almost the exact same video I saw from Microsoft like 15 years ago. Right?
I knew this looked familiar.
I knew it.
Yeah. Do you remember those? Do you remember those tablet PCs that Gates was all about? Like the ones with the flip thing? It was exact same thing. It's like he was ahead of his time. We laugh at Gates, but you know, and Microsoft, and we make fun of him. But they were calling this technology way before. I mean, it's glad to see now that it catches up on it. But yeah that video is freaky.
All right, and one final piece of news, super quick here. Do you want a Galaxy S3? Well, maybe you can get some money off if you trade in your current phone. You can get up to $300 off, but that's the iPhone 4S. So if you have the iPhone 4S 64 gig, you could get $300 off purchase of your Galaxy S3. Some other phones, HTC's One X is only worth $175. That's a lot. The Razer Max is $250. It costs $250, but it's worth $200, so that's a little bit more. And if you have a BlackBerry Bold, you know, you save $135. Come on, upgrade.
Will they take any phone? Like any phone?
That's a good question.
I walked in with a Motorola Droid. Well, yeah, they'd probably give me like $5.
You might take any phone, right?
Cool. A 0.03% discount.
So if you're looking to upgrade, there's some incentive there.
Well, also in terms of looking to upgrade for new phones, there's some rumors of HTC is going to be rolling out a 5-inch phone with 1080p resolution, which is somewhat would be leading the pack in terms of that resolution. Rumors of the iPhone being 5 inches, you know, the Galaxy Note 2 going to get announced. HTC is trying to get in on the party with this. And they are saying that this 1920 by 1080p resolution screen, and it's reported that's going to run Jelly Bean and will have no on-screen buttons. It'll use all the on-screen navigation buttons that come with Jelly Bean. And it's got a new quad-core Snapdragon S4 processor. And it's saying that HTC is really making a shot at the bigger phone size. Which I know is one that makes Eileen very happy, because you really like the 5-inch phones, right? The really big ones.
I did? I mean,
you've come around.
I mean, I do.
I've come around. I have come around. Yeah, I had an issue for a while with anything higher than a 4.3.
Larger than your face?
Yeah, larger than my face. But I've come around. I've been able to use the Nexus pretty well.
So, then a 5.5-inch
phone
would be okay for you.
You know, I spent a couple weeks with the Note, and I did enjoy my experience with the Note, believe it or not. So, it was,
I got an extra one at my desk anytime you want to play with it.
That's a challenge. It sounds like a challenge. Use that phone but I don't really talk on the phone, so I won't be doing this too often. It'll just be, you know, browsing, and I'll have a nice large screen. I took it to the gym. It was great. I was watching Downton Abbey, and it was large on the, you know, on the top there. So, yes, I'm curious, though, in terms of HTC. Now, they were trying to focus, you know, when they announced their one line. And I don't know that focus is really paying off right now. So now they're branching off. I mean, would you guys say that?
No, I think they'll call it the 1XXL.
Yeah, right.
XXL.
We'll be within the family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear the success of the Galaxy Note is getting noticed. That's the thing. I mean, HTC, LG's got the Optimus Vue or whatever, you know. Like, all of us have noticed that the Note is more of a hit than we thought it would be. And so, of course, they're scrambling just to stay competitive. And especially if the rumors are true and Apple's going to roll out a 5-inch iPhone, it's more keeping up with the Joneses. And so you could, when you're working in a vacuum, you could say, hey, listen, we're going to keep our line pared down in just one thing. But when your competitors are rolling out different form factors, you got to stay competitive.
5-inch iPhone? I didn't hear that. Yeah. Isn't it just 4?
No. 5-inch iPhone.
No.
Okay, well, we don't cover Apple here. We don't cover Apple, but I didn't hear that.
Maybe I should know that, but I don't know. Just real quick, I did a review of the Asus Transformer Pad Infinity. I think the biggest victory that I had in that review is that I actually said Asus correctly. So that's good. No, I actually really enjoyed the tablet. It's a great tablet. Has this nice little mobile dock here. Which anyone who's, you know, played around with the Asus Transformer series with the dock will probably tell you that it's kind of a match made in heaven the way these two work together. But you played around with an earlier Transformer. Did you also have the dock?
Yes, I've played around with the original Transformer Prime, the Transformer Pad. Which I really enjoyed, actually. I like the pad. You know, it was a lot cheaper than this one that you have here, but the specs were slightly lower. But, you know, I enjoyed all of those tablets. And I did play around with this a little bit, and, you know, it's great. It's just expensive, I think.
Expensive compared to Nexus 7 or?
Just as a 10-inch tablet.
Yeah.
Because the pad is like $200-$250 cheaper, and I don't know. I mean, I guess if you want that performance, if you want, you know, top of the line performance, yes, of course you'd go with this.
But. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I approached the review. Like, you know, I don't know if I would spend $600 on an Android tablet right now. I think that's too expensive for me. But there are people that are looking for a premium Android tablet, and beyond that, there are definitely people that are looking for a tablet that works well as, you know, a laptop form factor as well. And I think as far as that is concerned, you can't do better than this combination. Mm-hmm. I haven't played with the earlier Transformer versions, though, to know how that compares against this. I do know that this is kind of like the premium approach in the series. And so, yeah, it's going to be a little more expensive. But it's a great tablet if you're in the market for paying a little bit more for that kind of quality. I liked it a lot. Let's take a look at a quick email here to aaa@twit.tv. PJ writes in and said, did you see the Raspberry Pi people are putting the last touches to an Android port? Yep, ice cream sandwich on the Raspberry Pi, which we've seen, with Plex already out on Android and XBMC being developed. Could this be the cheapest media streamer ever? I have not played around at all with the Raspberry Pi. It's $35 for those who don't know what it is, and they've ported ice cream sandwich to it. There, I have a link that I'll put in the show notes at twit.tv/AAA71 for today's episode, a Lifehacker article that explains if you have a Raspberry Pi, how to put XBMC Media Center onto it. So, you know, when we're talking about the Ouya being a $99 and, you know, a lot of those other competitors being in the $99 range, this is a $35 one.
Hey, you should buy three of those.
I know. You can get one for every room. Get one for the bathroom too. Shoot. So anyways, Aaron Newcomb, who's been on the show many times and of the Floss show here on Twit, the last time he was in, he was very excited because he had the Raspberry Pi and he really wanted to do this. So I'm sure he's on top of that. Next time we have him on, we'll have to ask him about that. All right, let's get into apps.
All right. So I know we watch Google very closely and we're always excited about what they do, but sometimes they put out a product that's not so good. And actually, recently on Google's official blog, Max Ibel, the director of engineering, announced that they would be pulling the plug on the Google Listen app. For those of you who remember, this app launched in August of 2009, and Eileen, I remember talking to you about it very passionately in the Google Listen app for podcasts. Remember when this came out back when we were at Rev3? And
we're like,
oh wow,
so.
finally, there's a way to listen to podcasts on Android phone. And it just was never any good. And then, you know, like we quickly stopped using it. And then Pocket Cast came out and other, and Dogcatcher and other great apps. And that's exactly what Google cited. They said there are many other apps for finding and listening to podcasts available through the Google Play Store. So Google Listen really isn't no longer needed. And so after November 1st, podcast search will no longer function. And users can still use Google Reader to look at their subscriptions and use the download function if you want to stay within the Google ecosystem. But Google pulling the plug on an app that never really was ready for prime time, in my opinion. So,
yeah, wasn't very good. Did you ever get a chance to play around with that one, Jessica?
You know, I did, I think, right when it first came out.
Yeah, it was early days.
And then it all went away.
Yeah, it all went away, thankfully.
Not that I think anybody's using it, but if you are using it and you need an alternative, like I mentioned, Dogcatcher and Pocket Casts are probably the two best apps to go with for podcasts.
Yeah, and I tend to get back to Beyond Pod a lot for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Beyond Pod.
Beyond
okay.
Pod. Yeah, that's the one that I tend to go back to. I believe that's the one I have installed right now. But I hop between these things, so it's hard for me. Yes, Beyond Pod. I will say I used it for quite a while before I realized there were others, and I was like, oh yeah, it's fine. And then I used others, and I was like, okay, whoa, it's so not fine.
that was my whole thing, is that I had an iPod, and I used the iPod only for podcasts and for years. And because Listen was so crappy, and then when I eventually lost my iPod, and I remember I switched over to my phone full time, and thank God Pocket Cast saved me, and now I can't live without that app. That's like one of my top 10 installs when I get a new phone is Pocket Casts.
Right, mm-hmm. And we always get a lot of emails asking us, hey, what podcast app should we use? And it depends on your preference. I too am a Pocket Cast fan, but I've used Beyond Pod. We've used Dogcatcher. Those are, I think, the top three, as far as I'm concerned, but seems like those are the most popular ones at this point. Okay, moving on. So there was kind of a big event the other night,
maybe
two
heard
nights
of it.
Ago.
Oh, you're talking about the Olympics, right? Yeah.
No.
Oh.
We're talking about science, Jason Howell.
There's an Olympic event for science?
there should be for this. We would have got the gold medal. USA would have gotten it. You guys know about Curiosity.
Yeah.
The Curiosity rover, Mars Curiosity. And just a little tip from our friend Phil Nickinson over at Android Central. He said, you know, you might want to check out the NASA app these days because you can see some of the pictures that Curiosity is posting. I have it downloaded on my phone right now. And some of those photos are on the app as well. So if you're curious, if you're into science, you know, it's just a quick plug for NASA for everything they've done and, you know, so that you could keep up with what's going on in Mars. Curiosity, wait.
Mars. Yeah. Pretty sweet stuff.
Great, great stuff.
And
it's free. The app is free. So no excuses. Go get it and learn. Yay.
Just no excuses at all. None.
No.
You have to. Just get it.
Were you able to catch any of that live coverage, Jessica?
I was watching the Olympics. No, of course I did.
It's
pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually really loved reading all of the Twitter feeds going on, all the commentary and the excitement about that. It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, Twitter was fascinating to watch around that time because, I mean, I think my entire feed, there was nothing but Curiosity tweets. Like, it was entirely filled. I hate to say that I actually was watching the Olympics until I looked down at my Twitter feed and went, oh my God, it's happening right now. And I turned it on and I caught like the last like minute of it. I was like, dang it, how did I do that? I totally missed most of it. So I had to go back and watch it later.
That's
it just wasn't
NASA
the same.
NASA is giving you videos because they understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, NASA.
You were watching tape delay stuff.
It's just, don't ask me how it happened. It just did. All right. I was upset that it did.
Were you watching that network with tape delay stuff?
That one.
It's good. It's good thing that NBC wasn't covering the Curiosity or maybe seeing it like tomorrow.
I know.
Yeah, exactly, right. And finally, Google sent out an email to developers detailing a number of changes to the policies around Google Play. Some of these have been long overdue. Some notable changes affect spam and ads as well as payments. They've added clearer details to their payment policy, guidelines on how to handle cancellations, new subscription billing features, stuff like that. Restricting the use of names or icons confusingly similar to existing system apps, which I think is definitely long overdue. That's kind of nice that, you know, if you want, hopefully that'll eliminate the possibility that you get tricked into downloading something that is
absolutely. Take the Samsung icon argument.
Is it? They're also providing details on dangerous products that are not allowed on Google Play. Apps that disclose personal information without authorization, for example, are not allowed. So that's great. And also, this one kind of got a little bit of coverage here about the fact that they're insisting, requiring that if you have an app in the Play Store, you use Google's payment system. This goes for obviously buying it through the store, but also in-app purchases. If it's in Play, you have to use their payment system so they can control it, I guess, and obviously make a little bit of that extra cashola in the process. So hopefully that kind of clears up some of the stuff that happens in the Play Store. Ron, you have an email.
I do have an email, and it's fascinating how sometimes you all write in an email about problems that even I'm having. And so I'm glad that we got this email, because now I have an answer to a problem that I've been struggling with. Andrew Haynes writes in and says, "Hey, AAA crew, I just got the Sprint Galaxy S3, and I noticed when I used the Google Music app, somehow it's seeing the podcast I've downloaded using Pocket Casts. How can I make it stop?" Okay, not the email. This is me. I have the same problem. I've noticed Google Music has been pulling in all my podcasts that I download, and I don't want that to appear. So I'm right there with you, Andrew. Andrew further says, "When I'm listening to my music on shuffle, all of a sudden a podcast will play. I love Pocket Casts for my podcasts, but when I want music, I only want music. Do you know a way to stop Google Music from searching my phone for MP3 files? By the way, this never happened with my 2.3 HTC Evo. Thanks, Andrew Haynes." So Andrew, this is a problem that even I suffer from, and Jason, did you find this answer?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's possible that we mentioned this on the show at some time in the past, because this has been around for a while. The no media file approach. It's a file. It's a text file. It's like a blank text file that you can create on your PC. Name the file .nomedia, all one word, and place that in any directories that you don't want to come up with these crawlers in your apps. And I think that goes for pictures as well as music or audio files or whatever. Put it in a directory that you want to be kept out, and the no media tag will be picked up by these media players and recognized as an indication that it shouldn't bring back results from that directory.
And that came from, it's on Andronica in a post by Andrew Kameka, just to kind of reference it from 2009.
This is an old post. Silly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because those of you who are like system admins or work on servers and things like that, it's very similar to the concept of like the robots.txt file on a server, where you put on a web server and that gets read immediately by any bots, and that information says, hey, don't crawl this site or only crawl these directories or things like that. It's direction that you can give to the server. So by putting in this no media file, you're giving Google Music, it's getting to your directory and saying, okay, don't even scan it. And it's a great little hack and a little trick that's really easy to use and free. It's easy to do, and the instructions are all in the post. But as long as you have access to a desktop and you can have access to your file system via the USB cable, you should be all set, and that will solve your problem. And I'm doing this immediately after the show.
Now, High Templar in the chat room says, "No media caused BeyondPod to not index podcasts for me." So that could be, I mean, because when you think about it, a podcatcher is also a media player, right? And if you're putting a no media file in a directory to exclude podcasts from the results, that might affect your podcast player too. I'd just say take a look and see if that helps. It might be as easy as putting it, you know, your audio files into a podcast specific folder on your SD card. Sounds like there are possibly a number of ways to attempt to do this, but try the no media. That's been a solution that's been around for a little while. I've definitely seen that pop up around here and there. So check that out. All right, let's get right into the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right. So of the four of us, I was the only one on last week's episode with Michael.
Yeah, I know. I had to leave. I'm so sorry.
No, no. Well, no. I mean, we were on the episode, but
you
know, we were the only
for
four. No, I actually did okay. Pixie Tracker won. It was 60% of the votes. Order and Chaos Online, second with 40% of the votes. I actually contemplated holding on to that app because I thought, man, I really wanted you guys to see it particularly. Like, I'm happy I featured it because it's a really fun app, but I really wanted to, like, wow you guys with it.
Aww.
And,
well, I'll
instead,
just go
you just
download
had to watch
it.
The rerun.
Is it free?
Well, there's a free version.
All right, I'm going to download it right now.
Yeah.
Can I make a note on two arenas ago? Because I missed last week's show.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here. Yeah.
Where I won the arena with Lightflow.
Right.
Since I've been on, I didn't even though I won and I don't need to, like, win more, but I wanted to add a postscript. Since I've been gone and using Lightflow, I discovered the amazing widget, which appears on your home screen and allows you, it will tell you what notifications just went off. So if you had a mystery notification, it will tell you what app is triggering notifications, and you can just press a stop button and clear all notifications. So if you just want to wipe any notifications that are active on your phone, the widget lets you do that. So that Lightflow app get even better since I've been on the show. So
awesome.
There you go. But I'm all ready for this week to watch Eileen just dominate.
Yeah, well, you never know. Actually, Jessica
you
has a pretty...
You just killed it. You've just guaranteed that won't happen.
It better not be like some sort of Hunger Games arena-style thing going on.
Sometimes it is, Jessica. Sometimes it is.
Ron just made sure it just got real.
It totally got real. Well,
I was for your app. I know that already.
I was looking for an app last night, and admittedly, I had heard about the app that I'm about to feature from some of the iOS people, and I thought, that sounds interesting. Didn't try it on iOS, and then I was looking for the app, or just looking for an app, and I found it on Android. I thought, oh, cool. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about SongPop, and I'm going to talk about the free version because the $1.99 version, there's a paid version. I don't even know that you need that, but I did pay for it just to make sure. So essentially what this is, it is a music trivia game, and it kind of did remind me in terms of the UI or just the design of it a little bit of Draw Something.
Yeah, it has a Draw Something.
Yeah, and then the coins that you win if you win a round, and essentially what you can do is once you sign up, you can log in with Facebook or Twitter or just create your own account with your email and whatnot. And I'm going to launch it right now, Chad, and hopefully I have some games in play. So like Draw Something, you'll have a list of people that you're playing with. I guess if you
do, you pay, ever have
I know.
Some games.
Wow. So I guess when you have the $1.99 version, you could play with more people than the free version too. So I have a lot of games going on right now. Let's see, Ron, I'm waiting. You could see who you're waiting for. Oh, I guess somebody said game over.
I think I'm waiting for you. Am I on that list?
No, yeah, you're waiting for me. Jason's playing too. I'm not going to play in front of you. Let's play against Tom.
Oh, you so want to. That's so funny.
I'm
not playing in front of you. I realize we're doing a show.
So essentially,
but no.
What you see here is all the people that you're playing with, and you can see that's if you're hilarious. Winning. You can see your score versus your opponent's score. I'm winning against Tom, my husband, right now, and I'm going to win some more.
You're pretty good at this game.
You hit play.
Say.
And
she's really good.
Tom and I played 90s alternative, and there's different categories. There's modern rap, there's one hit wonders, there's love songs, there's, you know, a bunch of categories of music. And so next thing you do is hit the next button so you can see verses. And you can also buy some of those tracks too on Amazon MP3 should you decide that, oh, I really like that song. I didn't know that was that song. And now I see what happened here in the scoring. And then you could see basically your opponent, how many seconds that person took to hit the right answer or the wrong answer, and your score. And then you get five songs per category or per turn. And then you just hit next to find out if you won. I think I did, because if someone hits an incorrect answer and you get everything right, even though it took you longer, that person loses.
Mm, okay.
You know? And it's a really simple game to play. And obviously, too, you could see the end score. So I blew him away. I won that. And then I get three coins. And then the coins earn allow you to purchase more categories of songs. So I am trying to save money for classic rap. Right now I have modern rap. I'm terrible. I'm so bad at modern rap. Okay, so let me show you a demonstration of the game. And I might be a little quiet here because I'm going to concentrate. Because this is like that old game, Name That Tune. So you want to name it in like 1 second or less. And,
well, and I think sometimes you got to mention you also like they play the song and you got to guess they list band names or titles.
And sometimes too, and when I play, if you guess after the person you're playing, you see when they guessed, you see their icon comes up and which song they choose. And if sometimes that's deceptive because if they chose the wrong song and you think, oh, that's the song and you choose it, you get song too.
And you can turn that off in the settings.
I
found that immensely distracting, so I turned it off immediately.
I kept it on for the challenge. But all right. So I'm going to hit next and pick a category of song. Okay. So yes, I'm beating him 12-7. So no. I'm sorry. He picked shoot. picked the category. I forget. I'm being really quiet. Can you hear the music?
I can hear it.
And you get 5 songs or
Okay, so we find out if I answered faster than Tom.
I've noticed, by the way, playing this game, I'm really bad at Bon Jovi.
I'm really bad.
Oh, I get it wrong every time.
Yeah.
Okay, did I win? Okay, so we see. I won!
You did.
Okay.
You won under the pressure of these hot lights in the studio. You still won.
So he challenges me, and then the next round is me challenging him, and that's when I choose the category. It's actually really fun to play on a commute. Like this morning, I have an hour commute to work, and I was just playing this the entire time. It was great. What should I do? Today's hits, 80s collection, or let's do today's hits because that one seems to stump Tom.
That's the one I knew nothing on.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. And I'm not going to listen to. I can't see the chat room. Okay, now it loads. Once you pick a category, they give you 3 categories. And then you start, and I hope I know these songs. Here we go. Okay. Sorry for the cursing.
I don't know if there was any.
Oh, man.
Oh, her.
Okay, and then you have a chance to remove 2 songs. Yes. But you only have...
Man, I would be horrible at this one.
This seems like rap. I don't know. Ah,
you got that one wrong.
But is it? Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I would have guessed that
too long. So you go over that and over that and over that, and it's a really fun trivia game that I think. It's just fun. It's really great for a commute.
It's
and I
addictive.
Got these guys. I emailed them last night. I'm like, hey, would you guys do me the favor and indulge me and start playing Song Pop? It's free. The $1.99 version. There's just a few perks that you get. Supposedly you get HD quality music clips, whatever. Oh, it doesn't really matter. So. And it's ad free. And again, like I mentioned earlier, you could play with twice as many friends, and you can actually play against random people. If you don't know anybody who is using this app, you can play against random people. So
it totally got me all morning. I mean, Eileen, I think we played back and forth like 8 times.
I know.
And it was just embarrassing because I believe I'm a music, like Jason, like I think all of us are. I'm into music. And you did the today's hits, and I was like, I don't know any of these. So I used my coins to buy the punk playlist because I knew I knew that. And I'm pretty sure I beat you on that one, right?
You totally beat me on punk. Another friend of mine bought electronica. I did not know half the stuff, and I waited for his choice each time. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
It felt very like draw something for music, but in a great way. Like I couldn't wait to get back on my commute today so I could play more.
Draw something doesn't really have a winner, right? This one you can actually win.
It has a certain amount of time. Like your tournament, I think they call it, lasts for like 5 days or something.
Right. So right now I have a tournament. I've my 5 days had started yesterday, so I've got 4 days and 22 hours. here left on this tournament with all these people. So
yeah, it's a very fun game. I opened it last night and like, okay, yeah, I'll install it. And then for like the next hour and a half, like we were going back and forth. And
I was wondering, I was like, oh, does Jason just feel bad? And I keep playing against him and maybe he's getting the notification. No, he's like, oh, I guess I have to play the next round.
I felt like I had to prove that I was better at the game than I actually was. I was like, I should be doing so much better at this game than I am right now.
I know. I keep going to today's hits or whatever to try and throw people off. And then I get like the... Anyway, it's just been fun. It's a fun little game, and it's you can just justifiably just get the free version, I think.
Yeah. My only complaint about it is that because of the music and the audio, I can't play it during meetings and conference calls because there's just no way to hide that. So it's
true. Because you have to listen. You really have to pay attention.
Yeah, you do.
Exactly. Yeah, because I totally could play draw something when I was on a conference call. When you're just like on a call for an hour and you see people talk, I could totally just draw. But this you need to hear. So it's it's my only complaint. But I've been addicted to this all day. And like that, you're getting my vote this week. This is a great game. I love it.
Aw, thank you. Yeah. All right. So that's Song Pop. And it's free in the Google Play Market. And again, $1.99 if you feel like you need those premium features.
There we go. Ron, you are up next.
Yeah, so I went, I figured Eileen had the patent on fun this week, so I'm going to go boring with home finance.
Productive. Practical.
It's a ringer.
This is practical. Thank you. It's very, Jessica, it's very practical. And it's very, helps you keep organized your finances. It's a neat app called Lemon Wallet. From lemon.com. And basically, I'm not going to show it on my phone or try to do a live demo because it does involve financial information. But if we pull up the Google Play page, there's some screenshots and there's a video there. But basically, it's a neat way to basically create a virtual wallet. You know, if you're like me, I carry a wallet, I've got credit cards, I've got, transit cards and things like that. Quite often when I'm at my desk at work and I'm shopping, you know, you got to pull out the credit card to find the credit card number and the 3-digit code and that sort of thing. Lemon Wallet allows you to use your camera and you can take a picture of the front and the back of the card. So here, like on the screen, you can see somebody scan their Clipper card, which is the San Francisco Transit Metro card kind of equivalent. And you can scan the front and the back of it, and then it uses OCR technology to read the credit card number, the expiration date, and the 3-digit security PIN. So here, for example, you can see somebody's American Express card. If you go back one, Chad. So you can go into your wallet and pull up the credit card without actually physically going into your wallet. And so if you need to make a purchase or something like that, then you could totally, you know, you can get to your credit card information very quickly, all the key things you need to actually use it in a virtual kind of way. Beyond that, you can also use Lemon Wallet to scan in your receipts. And so if I use my debit card to buy dinner, I can scan the receipt. It will keep the receipt within the app and associate with the card so you can keep track of your spending. And then you can also easily export that receipt to an expense report or to, you know, wherever you might need to in order to manage your finances. So it was a clever way, you know, it's like it kind of reminded me of the Square wallet, but without the functionality of being able to purchase anything, because you can't actually make any purchases with Lemon Wallet. Rather, it's just a way of getting the cards out of your wallet and putting them all into your phone. Now, security, of course, is a concern. There is a 4-digit PIN, so you can't access the application without entering in your 4-digit PIN. So there's some protection there. But beyond that, it's pretty cool. It also, in signing up, it signs you up for an account on Lemon's website at lemon.com, where they have a whole bunch of other kind of tools and things like that. And that's another neat thing the video just showed. It also can, when you pull up the application, it can spit out a barcode or a QR code. So if you're in a scenario where you have a loyalty card but you don't have the card with you, you can just show the code and then that could be scanned. So it's a neat little app. I thought it was well designed. Here I'm playing with it now to make sure I caught everything and I just typed in the wrong PIN.
I think they've really updated the app. I used to have it, and I've switched phones so many times in the last couple months. And I kind of forgot to put it add that on my new phone here. But the scanning of the cards is relatively new, because I don't think they had that, like 3 or 4 months ago.
The scanning of the cards was really solid. I mean, like basically it flips over to camera mode and there's a little rectangle and there are the top and the sides, the bottom and the sides of the rectangle are there, and you've got to get the card in focus and then make the
show. Touch. Show my camera, Chad, and you can see it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I was impressed by it. It was a nice little app. Of course, you know, yeah, there you go. You can see it working there where you got to pull back a little and then it can, that's what I found works. Cause yeah, there you go.
Oh, boom. Nice. Oh, there it is. This will come in handy with, airline frequent flyer to me, you know, I kind of just have a little contact for United Airlines number, but I mean, you know, you could use this as well. That kind of thing.
So it's free, and it's a nice little way to keep track of your spending. Another tool like Mint and things like that, but also with a little bit of functionality. I know for me, I buy a lot of things online, and I'm constantly going to my wallet to take my wallet out and get the credit card out and look at the 3-digit code and all that sort of stuff. Now I can just pull it up out of the phone. So
awesome.
Radical. That is Lemon Wallet, and it is free. Cool stuff. Jessica, you are up next. I have your app actually installed on my end.
You're going to be my lovely personal assistant.
I will.
You're going to be my hand.
I'm going to be your hand model.
Look at it in real life right here. So this is Slices for Twitter. This is also free. And I think it's a really stylish way to manage your Twitter experience. So you can manage your account. There are some neat features on it. It looks really cool. You can, of course, go ahead and compose a new message, and you can easily hop back and forth from your timeline to your personal messages and your at replies. And if you go into the timeline button in the top left and drop down, you can also sort by photos and videos, and then you can sort by things called slices, which you can also get to by tapping the menu button, which is the big S in the upper left-hand corner. So you're going to get this really great view of slices of the Twitterverse. So that basically means that there are topics you can pick from, like tech, politics. You can also define your own slices. So I created one for cooking, and then I chose from among the people that I follow. I just kind of check boxes, and voila, they were put into my cooking group. So if I really want to quickly cut through all the millions of tweets that I've got in my stream, I can just click that slice and I'll get to a very condensed view of what I want to see. In addition, discovery on this is really amazing. You can press the explore button when you go in that menu on the left. Should I wait for you, Jason?
I'm putting in cooking. I'm really curious to...
I want to see who you're going to ask.
Actually, no. Okay. All right. So I'm back here.
Okay. So go back to the upper left and press that big, beautiful S icon.
Okay.
Boom. If you go into Explore, there we go. So you'll see that you can scroll across the top. There's the featured column, and that's basically what the, you know, what the curators want to feature. Scroll to the next right, and that's my personal favorite, live events. And that's where I was hanging out. Well, that's where you could hang out. When you want to watch the Curiosity tweets come in or the Olympics tweets, it's pretty fascinating because it also changes based on the TV schedule. So you've got Pretty Little Liars and Deadliest Catch on there. You've got baseball on there. So basically whatever is hot, whatever is live right now, if you want to just hone in on those tweets, you can do it right away. So really good for me when I take the bus and I'm hanging out and I'm kind of bored and I'm done reading my articles. This is where I'd go. There are also news, local events, humor, celebrities, sports, music, style. I mean, really everything. It's just Twitter in a beautiful and organized way like I've never seen it before. Also, what's neat is that it is free and it will support up to 5 different Twitter accounts. So I've got a personal account and I've got a work account and I can separate them both and it organizes it perfectly into nice, convenient little slices.
You know, it's cool. I like the UI very much. So if I'm in the timeline and then I hit at reply, it just kind of layers over really. So hit at reply and then it kind of layers over and you could still see what's, I don't know. It's just a little UI touch that
I think
is really, really neat, I think. Dude,
I just saw
this
my
is
little
great.
Icon on your screen. Nice.
I may have found my new Twitter client. Finally, I've been on a rant about how, Jessica, I don't know if you know, but I have been on a rant lately about how I'm not really happy with most Twitter clients. I do love Boyd, and I use that quite a bit. This is very elegant. Is there a paid version of this? Because I'd like to get rid of the ad down here.
You know, right now I think it might be free.
Okay. Because I would pay for this to get rid of the ad. That's all I'm saying. There was a little ad down there at the bottom sometimes.
I'm going to go check the Play Store right now.
I'm going to X that out.
Yeah, it's free. It's free.
There's no
paid option. There's no premium one.
Hey, louder apps. I would pay for your app. Give me a paid version.
Jason, it's the same people who did One Weather.
Yep.
They have great design.
They do. They've got a really good
upgrade
approach.
To Pro. Wait a minute. Upgrade to Pro. Oh, it's $4.99. Woo!
So it's an in-app purchase. Interesting.
$4.99. Great experience with no apps. Wow. Ads. All right. Should I just pony up?
Well, you know, how much do you use a Twitter client? You use one a lot. So.
I do use a Twitter. Twitter's like one of the apps that I use the most, or a Twitter client is one of the ones that I use the most.
So that'll pay for itself quickly.
Exactly. This is great. I love
it. Yeah, it looks really nice.
This is fantastic. Oh, my God. I'm so excited about
Arlene's
a new Twitter.
In love.
I'm excited.
That means I win, right?
Well, that means I vote for you.
Ron's voting for Eileen. Eileen's voting for Jessica. That means, Jessica, you have to vote for mine.
All right. Well, show me what you got.
Oh, damn. So let's just, that's Slices for Twitter, and it's free in the Google Play Store. And then apparently there's the in-app purchase for $4.99 if you want a pro version.
Hey, in-app purchases, they're kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. But they should, well, you know what? That probably makes it cohesive because there's something kind of broken about buying a free version and then buying the premium upgrade as another app. And then you have two in your app tray.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like that approach a little better.
So right now I'm using Slices to tweet about talking about Slices.
Nice.
Wow.
Meta.
My brain's exploding at this very moment. But I can't let it explode too much because I have to actually review an app. So I have kind of always wanted to take this controller that I never use for my PS3 and play games on my Android device with it.
Oh.
And so the app that I'm covering is called 6-Axis Controller. It's a $1.99. They have a free version of this app that's more of a compatibility checker because it's not guaranteed to work with every device. So keep that in mind. They have a free version that you can go and check out to see if it works with your device or not. Root is required. So I know that's going to take a few people out of the equation on this one. But it's just required for the way that it pairs the stick to your rooted device. It requires that. You actually have to run software on your PC and plug your controller into the PC. So it's a little bit of a few steps to kind of get it synced up. I didn't find it to be too difficult. I installed the software on my Windows PC, plugged this in. It told me kind of the Bluetooth ID on my device to sync into that. And basically what that's doing is it's sending it to the joystick so that this joystick pairs automatically with the device that you pair it with. So, Chad, if you can take my screen here, I have the 6-axis controller. And, of course, it's going dark here. I'll hit start. I've already done all the pairing and everything. And it's just kind of starting up the driver. It has super user permissions, which it requires through root. Now it's listening for controllers. So I'll go ahead and take my controller, hit that. The blinky little thing goes on. And now it says client connected 1. And it rumbled for me a little bit. That was kind of exciting. So basically now it's paired. I can pair up to 4 different controllers at once, so you can have multiplayer games going on here. It supports native gamepad in 3.1 and above, and that includes the analog controller support. It has keyboard emulation built into it in the settings. It's not the most exciting thing to look at, but you can have keyboard emulation, so that essentially means you can map any keys on the keyboard to your joystick. So if there's something, you know, that comes up during a game that you would need to do that, turn it into a controller click. That's easy to do. Although, you know, figuring those things out over time might be kind of difficult, but they have the option nonetheless. Mouse emulation as well, where supported. If there's apps, you know, particularly with like tablet apps and stuff, a lot of times they'll have extra support for a mouse and you can emulate that with your joystick, as well as touch emulation. And this is kind of cool because what this allows you to do is you can create touch profiles that allow you to take the screen and map a portion of the screen to a button on your controller. So that essentially allows you to take a game that has no controller support, that's purely touchscreen, and route it to your controller, enabling it to be controlled by your joystick. So that's kind of cool. So I don't know the best way to show this off and not get into trouble, because the first thing that I thought of was, wow, this would be great for emulations. So I'm going to go with my Commodore 64 emulator here. And
awesome.
I've got Jumpman here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, this is what I do with modern technology. I play really old games. Yeah, this is fun. Okay, so that's Commodore 64. It's working perfectly. It only took going into Frodo 64 settings to kind of set up, you know, specifically to turn on this input device, and it works. And I'll only show this for a second. I do own the ROM for Metroid, so I guess maybe I could show this, but whatever. It's a cool way to breathe some life into some old games on your tablet. So that's 6-axis controller, and it's $199. Let's exit out of here. And I mean, it's a single purpose thing, but it does it pretty well. So now I can suddenly use my tablet screen as a big screen for whatever games I'm going to play with this joystick here. 6-axis controller.
That's so awesome.
That's it. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm still gaga over slices. So, okay, number one, it gave me old school art retweet. Thank you, immediately. And then, look at this. Like, there's this section here. Did you talk about this? And I skipped this, Jessica, where it's like in the timeline, you could see your stats. So apparently, I tweet a lot between 3 and 9 p.m. 3 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I don't know if you
see that. And like in the middle of the night, of course I don't. But I love. Okay, sorry.
So this is
awesome.
I just ponied up for the Pro. I just went ahead and got it.
Boom! Didn't even think about it.
Done.
That's great. This has turned out to be a pretty darn good arena.
I think there's fun, good stuff. I mean, you were playing. That was awesome. Your demo right there. I wanted to see some more, and you know, hello, I've used Lemon before. That's great, and this is great. I love all of our apps today.
Yeah.
Just vote for all of us.
Mm. Yeah,
we all win.
What do I win?
Notoriety as a winner on the show.
Yes, you will. Notoriety forever.
You will become famous when you win the Android Arena. More famous than you already are, Jessica.
How about an ooh yeah?
We have to pony up.
And I don't need the console. I just want to hear you say it.
Ooh yeah.
So check out the link bit.ly/AAApoll71. bit.ly/AAApoll71 and cast your vote on your favorite app covered in this episode of All About Android. Is it Song Pop, Lemon Wallet, Slices, or 6-axis controller? And so far, Song Pop and 6-axis are in a
really?
Well, you know what? It's leveling out.
That controller is pretty cool.
It's
really cool.
Slices is jumping up.
Well, because I mean,
this is gonna be an interesting one, folks.
I just love how it. I'm going back to Slice. I love how it knows who's in the categories: tech, science, and TV, movies of the people that you're. I love that. Like, it just knows. I'm so excited by this.
You
app.
Are.
I have not been excited by a Twitter app since Boyd. But this one,
I mean, we tweet a lot. This is really important to us. This is like, like equipment.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's utility. It's utility. It's when you know when you use Twitter a lot. It's one of the first things that you reinstall when you get like a new phone or whatever. Because it's, I mean, you use it on your mobile often.
So excited.
bit.ly/AAApoll71, and that is all you need to know. Go and vote, and we'll tell you who the winner is on the next episode, and not give the winner an ooyah. Unfortunately, as much as we would love to.
I know. Jess is like, this was a scam. That's what I came on the show for.
I was not promised a new Jessica, speaking of, thank you so much for joining us today. It was really awesome to have you on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome to be here.
Yeah. So you're at CNET and you're busy with a lot of mobile phones. You've got a lot of things going on. Why don't you tell people, if you would, kind of where people can find your stuff and what you're working on?
I'm all over CNET, do a lot of cell phone reviews. I also have a monthly column called Smartphones Unlocked, and the latest one was just up, and I went on this really interesting ride-along with a third-party company who independently tests data networks like Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, etc. So there's a fun little video there about exactly how they do it. And I was fascinated the whole time. If that sounds cool, you should definitely check that out on CNET.
Radical. So that's CNET.com. And you're also on CNET.com/dialed-in.
Yep, all over the place. CNET News. Can't escape me, actually.
Oh, okay. Good to know. At J Dolcourt on Twitter. So awesome. Thanks again, Jessica. We'd love to have you back on sometime. And Ron, go ahead and plug.
Cool. Yes. Plug away. Just go to about.me/RonXO and there you can get links to my Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter and all that fun stuff where you can find me and see my inane chatter and that sort of thing. So, and I'll be back in California next week and I'll be in studio. So
excellent. I miss you all. And Eileen, pull yourself away from Slices for a second.
I love this app. I get obsessed every once in a while when I find some. This is fantastic. Vote for Slices. You can find me on Twitter at Eileen TV when you download Slices. See, I'm pitching your app.
I know.
And also you can find me at about.me/EileenRose.
All right. And I am at Jason Howell on Twitter and about.me/JasonHowell as well. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of All About Android. Leave us a voicemail if you would. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also send us an email or a video mail. Just add a link to your email. Send that to AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Our show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA at the time of posting the episode. So anything that we talked about today, go there when you downloaded this and you'll find the show notes there. Past episodes on our site as well. You can also find our episodes on iTunes, YouTube, plenty of places on the internet. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. I'm going to play some games.
When you long tap on a tweet, then you have the choices. You don't have to just like open up the tweet. You long tap.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is
her app is awesome.